Welcome to The Lowdown, KMXT's new daily show dedicated to giving you the up-to-date information we have available on the COVID-19 outbreak and how it's impacting life on Kodiak Island. The Lowdown will focus on the facts as provided to us by local and state officials. During the show, we give you access to local officials and experts on COVID-19 and community actions related to it. If you have questions for our guests, please email them to lowdown@kmxt.org or call KMXT at 486-3181. You can find a list of upcoming guests on our Facebook page or on our website, kmxt.org. Audio from each day's program will be posted on the website. To the sad, sad truth,
the dirty lowdown. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in for the Fun Friday edition of The Lowdown. Summer is just around the corner, usually a time when we are chock full of activities to keep our kids occupied. So many, in fact, that you almost have a hard time figuring out which ones you're going to go to and how to get the kids there and how to get your own stuff done, how to get involved. We're now trying to... pretty sure the summer is going to be a lot different than any other summer we've ever had. So we thought it'd be interesting to talk to some of the local groups in town that usually provide summer activities for kids and see what plans they're making for the summer ahead. Graciously joining us today in the studio, Katie Oliver, the Executive Director of the Kodiak Arts Council, Kelly Bell, the School Programs Director at the Kodiak Baptist Mission, Lori Madsen and Ani Thomas from the Kodiak Public Library, and Shelley Lawson, the education coordinator at the Kodiak National Wildlife Refuge. Thanks all for showing up. We know there's more groups and people who are trying to offer kids activities during the summer, and we'll at least try and schedule another show in weeks to come, or at least we'll try and start some kind of an activities board where we'll post on our website or on our calendar a one-stop reference for you to use if you're trying to find out, you know, what kind of activities are available out there for your kids. So if you want to get involved either on the show or by helping us with the events that you're going to be dealing with, give us a call after the program or drop us an email. Good morning to you all. Thank you all for showing up on this bright, brilliant Friday morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey. Good morning.
Hey. So let's start with Katie. You're in the room. Tell us a little bit about you and the Arts Council and what normally happens for the Arts Council during the summer.
Okay. Thanks for having me. I'm Katie Oliver with the Kodiak Arts Council. We're the local arts agency for Kodiak Island, and we work to create opportunities for the people of Kodiak to experience and participate in the arts. We have a longstanding summer arts program. Goes back to the 80s. It's called Some Arts for Kids, and it's typically a six-week program, around 30 arts camps. We typically see around 300 kids. And it's definitely a destination, or has traditionally been a destination day camp. So families will come to the auditorium, and they'll go to the theater space or the art room in the high school. And that's where the learning takes place, and small group, large group. Very traditional sort of day camp program, and it's been a huge success for us. We've been planning to modify this program ever since the middle of March, because one of the first things we had to do at the Arts Council was cancel our spring break arts instruction, which is sort of a mini version of our summer arts. So we've been thinking for a long time about what are the best qualities of our summer program and how do we preserve those qualities working within guidelines for health and safety. And we've been watching sort of other programs around the state and how they respond. Of course, Sitka Fine Arts Camp is probably Alaska's largest arts camp. It's a sleepaway camp, though, and they have canceled their program for the summer. So we are planning to modify some arts so that we can continue to offer instruction in a distance delivery model. If you read the guidelines from the state about day camps for kids over the summer, one of the things that they emphasize, of course, is social distancing and also the idea of not sharing supplies. One of the examples that's in the guidelines is art supplies. And if you're running an arts camp for kids, each child has to have their own set of supplies, or there needs to be sanitation every time a user of a different household uses supplies. So that was a starting point for us. Okay, we need to make a program where every child has their own set of supplies. And how can we put together something that's engaging and meaningful that they can do with their supplies at home? They're no longer going to be with us in the room for 2 hours and then leaving all their supplies there. They're going to have a kit of supplies, and then we are going to have virtual instruction in small groups to give them instruction on how to use their art supplies, and then they're going to do it at home.
Major change. So in past years, though, you had a lineup of what, I'm not sure how many adult instructors are involved, 15, 20 more?
Yeah, we have a roster of local teaching artists, and it's usually around 15 to 20 in the program. Yeah, theater teaching artists running theater camps and productions, lots of visual arts instruction, some dance as well.
So it's a nice little revenue source for some of the artists in town who teach these classes. And it's a nice break actually for parents as well, because they get an opportunity to sign their kid up for 2 weeks of this and then 2 weeks of that, and because the program runs throughout the summer.
Yeah.
And so,
and that is difficult or impossible to duplicate, and I'm interested also in hearing from our other guests their thoughts on that, because that is a piece that we can't offer for families anymore, is that destination, is that, you know, bring your kids to us and we have this great program for them for a couple of hours every day, and, you know, others in the family can do other things. It's now going to be an at-home program.
So it's like they're still in school, almost. They're in school at home.
Sure.
But do it.
Yeah.
But without the history and the English, and now it's mostly just the art.
It is mostly art. There's some integration in there, too, because...
So how has it been to deal with the normal group of instructors that you have? Or is that pool now condensed? Do you only have...
Well, it's a totally different kind of instruction, right?
Yeah.
So you have to provide some training and professional development. It was important to us to, because in the springtime, our teaching artists usually get a lot of work in classrooms and then through some arts, and that's a revenue stream that we wanted to maintain. So the school district and the teachers have been great, actually, inviting local teaching artists into virtual classrooms. And over the past 4 weeks, we've had 29 visits from teaching artists on our roster into virtual classrooms with the school district. So people are finding their feet, learning what works, learning the techniques to keep kids engaged. There really is an important design element to this in terms of how do we design instruction that is meaningful, is sort of locally meaningful as well, because there are a lot of virtual arts instructions that people can do online.
Right.
So there's a sense of connectivity and community that we need to bring to the program as well.
Yeah. Okay. Kelly, let's talk a little bit about the Baptist Mission. In years past, you offered all kinds of services for kids.
Yes, we have. Typically, we offer child care for ages 3 through 12 years of age. We do a preschool, an outdoor preschool, forest kindergarten, and after-school program that have all been basically suspended for now. We are still providing emergency care for essential workers. But for us, we went from serving 126 students to now on a regular basis, we have about 5 or 8 kids here. Wow. 22 staff, and now we have 4. So it's drastically changed the way that we are doing business. So we had all of these wonderful plans for the summer, and now we're having to rethink those.
So if the regular plans went through, like what kinds of things specifically do you do in the summertime to provide the population with fun things for kids to do?
Normally, we would offer day camp programs for preschool through 12 years of age, along with our specialty camps. And then we would always have community events just about every Saturday in conjunction with the Kodiak Farmers Market. We would do some type of open barn experience with our families that would come to those Saturday events. that's what we normally would do.
Okay. Shelly, how about at the wildlife refuge?
So normally this time of year, we are immersed in seasonal training. We have a lot of folks starting work to get ready to do our outreach and programs. And that's not happening this year. We don't have our folks that were planning to come, aren't able to come now. We have salmon camp, of course. We normally have 13 sessions of salmon camp with 7 in town and 6 in our remote rural communities. And then as well, there's weekly programs that we usually do throughout the summer for different age groups, preschool and elementary. And we have middle school and high school volunteer programs where they can get involved in the work that we do and helping and mentor other youth. And then our Youth Conservation Corps for where we hire high school students and we do outreach and also do remote field work with them. That's what a normal summer looks like. It's very busy and bustling with lots of people and very different this year so far.
So what's changing? I mean, are a lot of those not like completely off the table now? You're not hiring people, you're not bringing people in, the programs they were involved with are just not going to go forward?
We don't know all the answers to the questions. We know some of them. Right now, we are on hold from moving people to the island that had been offered positions that are not local. And so those folks aren't able to come and they still want to come. So that's still up in the air. I did post on Facebook the other day. I don't know if folks saw it, but it has been officially decided that we would not have our salmon camp this summer, at least not in person with kids coming to camp. And this would have been our 25th year. We already had our crew selected. Everyone was really excited about it. So, you know, it's been tough to think about that, just the tradition and families that were hoping to come and kids that were hoping to come. And we do hope to do something for salmon camp families. I'm thinking about sending out a kit to everyone that signed up. And if folks are listening that were planning to sign up or thinking about signing up that didn't and missed the deadline, go ahead and contact me and send me your student's name and your contact information, because we'd like to get something out to, you know, it might be a camp shirt and some art supplies and field guides, things like that. We want to send out something to all the kids to let them play and have fun in learning about the outdoors close to home, at least.
Lori and Annie, at the library, normal summer in the library is super busy.
Yes, it is, from not only children to adults and visitors who are coming to the island. One of our big programs every summer is a summer reading program that is focused mostly on kids to get them to keep reading and avoid that summer slump, which is where kids go back sometimes a whole grade level if they haven't practiced. There's a real concern among educators right now that the summer slump began March 15th, so that many kids, they're learning reading, especially K-2 age groups, if the parents or the kids haven't, you know, stayed up with their work or challenged themselves with new reading, that we might find a bigger slump than normal. But the library provides activities, or has in the past. Last year, our theme was Universe of Stories. We focused on the 50th anniversary of the Apollo moon landing. There were all kinds of activities to do with space. This year, our theme is Dig Deeper, Read, Investigate, Discover, and how we're going to deliver those activities and programs just be a little bit different. More virtual and less face-to-face. Ani, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the programs that we've decided to offer?
Sure, thank you. So I'm the new youth librarian at the Kodiak Public Library, and what we are doing is we're bringing all of our programs to an outside venue. And so we're trying to do as much as we can, either virtually or outside, for our program. And like Katie was saying earlier, you know, the kids are losing place-based learning. And one way that one of our solutions that hopefully will speak to that, because people can't come into the library, we're going to invite kids and families to come and enjoy the grounds of the library. So one way to do that is through story walks. So we'll have story walks throughout the summer that will change, and families can come and enjoy a story that will be posted outside the building. And they walk along a path and find the next pages of each story as they're walking along. So it's a, I just love the idea. It's a unique idea. It promotes reading in many different environments. The kids are still going to associate reading with the library, and it's a safe activity for people to do. So, you know, it's got the social distancing, and people aren't congregating because they're moving along. So that's just one of the ideas that we have for the summer, is we'll have the story walks pretty regularly. We are looking forward to kicking off our summer reading program in a couple of weeks. And we're going to be doing that, I think it's May 28th, 29th, and 30th. And that'll be from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. on each of those days. And people will be invited to the library. Again, the building is closed, but people will be engaged in activities outside the library, and they'll be encouraged to keep moving along. So we'll have some chalk for the kids, and they can they'll be encouraged to draw something from their favorite books or whatever makes them happy. And we'll be giving them lots of space and their own supplies to take home. And they'll also be doing the story walk, so walking around the grounds. We have a grab bag where I think we have some seed bombs that are going to go in there, so a little pollinator garden that they can make at home. And it's got lots of information about our summer reading program. And the whole event is designed to get kids and families excited about summer reading, excited about setting goals for themselves, and excited about activities that are going to be happening at the library all summer. We'll also have scavenger hunts. It'll be pretty easy to sign up for the summer reading. So that's one thing that we have going on right now.
And one of the things that's really changed, of course, in this virtual environment is our reading challenges this summer. We're using a software called Beanstack where we're challenging people to read a certain number of pages in a book. There'll be challenges for adults. There'll be challenges for kids as well as pre-kindergarten age kids. And in these challenges, kids earn badges and work towards goals and activities that are happening at the library. So we're trying to extend our reach other than here's a piece of paper, write down what you've read this summer. They're going to be logging their reading into software that also has an app for your phone. So we're hoping to snag some folks who might be out of town also to get involved in the program if they can't physically come to the library.
And it's also important to note that the summer reading program is for everybody. So not just children and families, but for everybody. So everything from toddlers to adults. And we encourage that with the reading, they do some sort of review of the reading. And the way that that looks for a toddler, for instance, is to draw a picture maybe of something from the book, or play with Play-Doh or Legos and do something tactile that... you know, that's one way to engage in their reading physically.
Lori, I don't want to get ahead of the game here, but it sounds like you're planning on not really opening up the library space for, I mean, is that so far down the road you can't even anticipate for it, and that you're just planning this is what we're going to do for the summer now?
We're making these plans in the event that the library does not open for our summer reading, because we do need to have something in place when kids get out of school on the 29th of May. Right now, the city's in the process of putting, each of our departments are putting together what we call mitigation plans. How are we going to have our library space available and clean and safe and how many people. The governor's mandate, which came out, I believe, last week, said that libraries and certain businesses could operate at a 25% capacity. 25% capacity at the Kodiak Public Library is 85 people. I don't really think we want 85 people at a time. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that, but I really believe we need to think carefully about this. And I've been doing a lot of research through the CDC and other, there's so much out there. Even the quarantine librarian has a website. But
quarantine librarian? Is there such a
person?
Yeah, it's
a great website. It's a friend of mine, actually, in California who started it. But it's just all kinds of resources that you can use when you're in quarantine. But how do we keep things clean? How do we make sure that they're now, the new word is touch points. How do we keep these touch points safe? So we're in the planning process. I don't want to say the library will not open this summer, but right now we are making plans for what reduced number of people might have access to or be able to touch. Like right now, if you were to come into the library, which we wouldn't let you, but if you could, all the doors are open, so we don't touch the doors. Everything is being wiped down after every use. And we're doing that for the 4 or 5 people who might be at work that day. What do we do when we have 10 people? So it's just a matter of a lot of planning.
Yeah. I actually want to get back to you about some of the specifics of those things, but let's get everybody else kind of involved. So, Katie, as you start to roll out what your summer program looks like, what kind of offerings are you talking about having specifically other than those art classes? Are there theater classes? Are there, you know, music classes? Are there what are we going to miss and what's going to be available?
Yeah, so typically at this time we would have launched the entire 6 weeks and families would be looking through a catalog of 6 weeks and everything on offer. What we're doing now is we're going to roll out week by week because we need to be flexible to be able to learn what's working, to be able to respond to feedback. We are starting with 2 visual arts classes. So we have teaching artists who will be leading, for the younger kids, it's a treasure hunters, class. Joanne Knight has taught this class through Some Arts before. And Erica, who's our arts education coordinator, is working on a portraiture class. So for these particular offerings, families will come and pick up a kit of supplies, and then we'll have, Zoom teleconferencing instruction 3 times a week, and 2 times a week there'll be open hours with the teaching artists where students who might need a little extra help or they really are enjoying their work and they want to connect with the teaching artist in a smaller group can come in and get that extra instruction. So it is it's a distance delivery, and we're going to be just learning as we go and responding to feedback from families about what's working.
So the pool of people that are your normal instructors, are they still in contact with you? Do you still have a lot of interest from people who want to try and provide something if the opportunity is there?
Yeah, I would say that it's a smaller pool, and we're, you know, it's a different kind of planning. So we also need to plan for how are we going to make sure that the teaching artists are comfortable in this new environment and feel ready and feel like they're prepared and they know what they're doing. So there's a whole other professional development element of it. Fortunately, a lot of teachers and teaching artists have been working together in virtual classrooms already. So some of that groundwork has been laid. We are working with a slightly smaller pool of teaching artists, in part because right now we're not considering a theater arts program. It's possible to do theater arts distance delivery, but we're focusing on the visual arts and sort of getting those supplies out, the visual arts supplies out to families.
What kind of a challenge is it administratively to make the switch and go from what you used to do, which took a lot of time and a lot of planning, to trying to shift your focus now and say, no, we want to do this? Oh, if faces could go over the radio, that was beautiful.
I mean, the word is challenge, right?
Yeah.
It's challenging in unexpected ways. There's the design aspect, because you want to preserve the quality. There's the supply chain aspect, because supply chains are somewhat disrupted, and we can't always get the art supplies to the island that we could with the speed that we could in previous years. But we anticipate that families are potentially also having that experience, and so there's a value that we can add there in being able to get the supplies here in bulk and then get them out to families.
Are you having a lot of interaction with the public in regards to, you know, I like taking my kid to the Some Arts program. It's, you know, what are you going to be doing this year? Because there is some way I can help you.
Yeah, we are fielding mostly emails from families, you know, wondering what our plans are and when, you know, when we'll have registration open. So by the end of the month, we will have all of our communications out and in place about what to expect and how to register and what the entire summer might look like.
Sounds like a challenge.
It is a challenge. It we love a challenge.
Okay, Kelly, so as the summer progresses and you're deciding, you know, what kind of things can we do now in this environment? What are you going to add, and how do you make that happen?
Well, Mike, the one thing I definitely want to say is, you know, Kodiak Baptist Mission's been here since 1893, and this organization has seen lots of different changes in that time. But it's always been important that we're able to share the good news of Jesus to our families and our kids that we serve and to our community. So I love that Katie said it's a challenge, but, you know, everybody's up for a good challenge, and it refreshes your ideas and makes you think outside of the box. And we like that. So we are trying to come up with different ways that we can reach our community through virtual farm tours. That's something that our farm manager and assistant executive director, Kelly Foreman, has been doing with some of our school districts and our school district. She's been doing that with her classes, 4-H. I think she's done some with them. So anybody who wants a virtual farm tour, you can just contact Kodiak Baptist Mission through our website, or if you have our telephone number, you can give us a call and we're happy to do that.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you for a second. Is this something that's already pre-recorded, or do you send one of the staff out with the camera to, like, walk through the barn?
So we do it different ways. We have done pre-recorded. Yesterday, we actually had one of the teachers from East Elementary come, and it was a one-on-one farm tour, and I think he had one of his helpers with him. So there were three people, but we were able to do that and you know, make sure that we were safe and our social distancing and whatnot. But they did it just with the three of them. So there's different ways that you can do that. And, you know, Kelly Foreman's very creative and an innovative person. So they have a lot of fun with those. But yeah, some are pre-recorded, but some are not. Just kind of depends on what you want. We want to reopen, and we know that it's going to look different. We have our mitigation plan submitted, and we are doing smaller groups, which is a challenge because with smaller groups, you're going to have more staff. And some of our staff have their own children, and they're not able to work here anymore because they've lost childcare because their child's not old enough to come here. There's a challenge in the fact that you're talking about children, especially the younger ones, the preschool ages. How do you keep them from touching one another? And I have to tell you, I am incredibly concerned about the children in our community, because when you separate and isolate them, that's no good. They need socialization. To expect a three-year-old not to run into a classroom setting and not want to hug and touch his friends and be around them and romp and play, that's impossible. And honestly, like, it's hard for me to say, stop doing that, because they want that. But I understand the safety aspect of it too, and trying to come up with a safe compromise. It's a challenge, and we're coming up with ways to try to do that. But I think the main thing is educating our families and our parents that will be bringing their children to us, to let them know it's possible that they're going to be exposed to one another in ways that we can't necessarily prevent. And for a parent to be responsible with their child once they leave our facility and make sure, you know, they're doing the proper precautions as well. But what I'm really excited about, we are trying to, so our mitigation plan is in. We've submitted it for our day camp programs, preschool through 12 years of age. But then we've also done specialty camp, like horse riding, farm, agricultural, how to train your farm animal. There's lots of specialty camps that we're trying to also offer, not just our regular Monday through Friday child care program, but we're also going to offer virtual events. For example, our very first one will be launched next Sunday, May 24th, and it is virtual plow days. And we actually have a mule. It's the only mule on the island, and we taught him how to plow like in the olden days, and we have done a video of that. And so it was pre-recorded like you were talking about, but then we're connecting it where it's we will actually be live as we're presenting the video. We'll also be there live with you, and we can answer questions and talk about that just to engage our community, and not just our community. But the nice thing about virtual is you can reach the entire world if you want to. So we're going to try to implement those more often with different events that we're doing here.
Okay, you're going to have the video playing, and you're going to be live with the mule, and the mule's going to be doing his thing. So people are going to be able to go, and people from town were going to be able to go and watch the mule do his thing too while you're answering questions, or you do that virtually too?
So we're going to do that virtually, and the plowing has actually, we pre-recorded it, but yeah. He will be there with us. We can have him with us as we're doing a chuck wagon event, kind of like the wrap up to the day. We'll be ending with a little chuck wagon event with just a few of our staff here, but we want to share that with other people. The hardest thing for us is the lack of community events, because how do you do that and do it safely and follow, you know, your mitigation plan? It's impossible. So how can you do that? Well, you start doing things virtually and at least let people know what's going on and let them be a part, even if they're watching it through a computer screen.
Yeah. So you're going to have a limited camps. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes. Our camps will be much smaller because of social, you know, just the isolation, sorry, and doing small groups and trying to keep your social distancing at bay the best you can. So we're just going to have smaller camps.
So
in the summer, we would have like 80 kids here. We're not going to be able to necessarily facilitate that with staffing and keeping them in separate areas. The wonderful thing about our campus is it's large enough that we can do separate groups and keep them isolated with the different groups in the different areas. But we won't have enough staff to facilitate all the different groups we could have here, because you have to have good staff. And just like Katie was talking about, you've got to get them properly trained and do professional development so that everybody's on the same page. And that gets a little tricky.
So there's going to be a limited amount of like horseback riding classes and archery classes and things like that, where you can have small groups and still safely do that. And
yes.
And let's say you have a normal group of maybe 20 that are involved in a horseback class. Now you're going to have five or something.
Correct.
Like that?
Correct. Yes.
And when are those due to start?
Well, our hope was that we could start everything June 1st, but we're still waiting on the mitigation plan to be approved, because we're supposed to post that, you know, on our doors and make sure that all of our parents and staff are aware of what those procedures are. But so we're really just on a holding pattern. We're waiting on the Emergency Operations Center, and they're doing a fantastic job. I know they are overwhelmed, but we are just waiting. And as soon as we get approved, we're going to open up 2 weeks after that. We'll give us time to get everybody trained, get everything set. So our hope was June 1st, but you know, today's May
15th. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that it'll happen June 1st. It might be the following week. We're just waiting, and it's hard to wait, Mike. It's really difficult.
Well, you got a lot to do. There's a lot to prepare for. So Shelly, the summer at the Refuge Center is going to look a lot different. Are you going virtual?
We started virtual about, I guess it's been 2 months now, maybe, doing three programs a week. We were doing two, but then our seasonal ranger, Danielle Butts, was able to start, who lives locally. And so every Monday at 9 a.m. we're doing, it's called Mondays Are for Making Art, or Mondays Are for Makers, and we do a little art lesson or exercise every Monday online. Every Wednesday is the Families Understanding Nature program. We post that on our Facebook page. And then every Thursday, Danielle's leading a neighborhood nature quest where she's giving, it could be any age, but things that you could go do outside and explore to learn about, you know, your own backyard, your own neighborhoods in nature. And this week she did a really fun bird bingo. And she played some bird songs and showed some photos of birds if people wanted to get out and learn more about the birds in their area. So we have that going right now, and we plan to keep that going at least. That's something we plan to offer through the summer with the hopes that later on, maybe we can start doing more. And I love the ideas that people are coming out with. I love Ani and the library's story walks. And that's just the way we're hoping to get creative. Right now, as an agency, we're still in telework status. So we're all separated at homes like many people are. And once we can get back in work, and we're allowed to go back to work, we might start sharing those ideas and seeing how we can get outside and work. I was thinking about doing plein air painting where we can go outside and do art and we don't have to be near each other. And there's lots of things that we do on trails. Like one of our summer programs that we do normally is on Saturdays called Happy Trails. And that has often been a self-led where we connect and families can go do the activity on the trail or on the beach. So things like that, maybe we can still do since people can be self in their own groups and self-directed with some activity that we provide for them. So that's still up in the air. We'll see what happens with that. And same thing with Youth Conservation Corps, my high school program where we do youth hires. That is still up in the air right now. And we're working towards ideas for that, hoping for at least of distance connection with youth where we can engage with them and have them do projects that we share back together via distance, if not in person, just depending on what happens. So a lot's still unknown about what we can do, but at least now we're doing the Facebook posts on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are pre-recorded. And then we're doing some live programs right now in classrooms where we do field trips live, and much of that has been organized through the Moonyard Tech program in collaboration with Arts Council, and we really appreciate that. It's great to meet with the kids and see their faces and do some art with the teachers and their students in their virtual classrooms.
So how do you get people aware of what you're actually doing without the building there, you know, and the staff around sort of directing people towards particular events? How do you let them know? Are you Facebooking all the time?
Right now, Facebook is the primary way that we're doing it. And we might try to utilize some other resources later. And I know other people have helped share out the work that we're doing through the schools. And the Arts Council has shared out work that we're doing in our programs that we're offering with teachers. So we really appreciate people working together to share all the different things that are happening on the island that people can tune into, or outside the island people can join in, since many of them are online.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the benefits of how we've all gone virtual is our audience in a lot of different areas has tended to get a lot bigger than it was in the past because we're in Kodiak and it's a fun place to go visit. Mm-hmm. And now you can do it. But are you seeing... can you judge how successful you've been so far with connecting with people?
Well, you know, it's not the same as being in person and being active with them and doing something engaging. You know, the work that we do, we like it being hands-on. We want it to be something that they're experiencing, not just listening to. And that's why I've been really leaning towards art, because it's something that they can be actively doing. You know, I can't provide them, you know, the dirt to stick their hands in, or, you know, if we're doing, you know, we like to do little experiments with water, or if we're learning about whales, to experience pretending we're whales and feeding or collecting food like a bird does. We like to create things for them to do and be active. And it's hard to do that through a computer screen, but art is one way that we can have them be engaged and they're doing something and then they can share and show us what they did. And so that's something I've been really leaning on a lot, and hopefully they're enjoying it, and I'm loving seeing the work that the kids are doing. And yeah, we'll just keep moving forward and getting creative. I love hearing other people's ideas here and seeing what ways we can continue to develop and safely interact when we can together.
Lori or Annie, you want to talk a little bit about more? You know, I really love this idea of walking around the building and reading stories. That sounds great. I could see us doing that in Abercrombie or somewhere else to take that kind of activity out. When do you anticipate moving the normal volunteers in to help you do this? Or are we still just kind of staff-driven?
At this point, Mike, we're pretty much staff-driven. And... well, we're depending on our virtual services, like many of you and Shelley was talking about. We currently have Ani doing story time on Facebook, and she did a teen story time or a teen taster review of books the other day. We're also doing Zoom Room Book Club, which is meeting on video this afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you want to join us, we'll be talking about what we're reading and listening to.
How many people show up for those Zoom Room Book Clubs?
Well, we've only had one, and it was only three of us. So I'm hoping today I have five scheduled. So please, I can take 100. So basically what you're talking to, what podcasts you're listening to, what movies you've seen recently as a sharing point. And I was thinking, as we were talking about some of the activities that y'all are doing, I think it'd be nice to include that with the children having Zoom Room Book Club. And I think there's ways that we could collaborate with your program, the other people on the show, their programs, to include them in our summer reading. But back to your question, as far as volunteers, not so much, but we are taking it one day at a time. We're definitely depending on the virtual environment to carry us forward and to get the word out there. And I know Ani has some things like scavenger hunts, and maybe she wants to talk a little bit about the bees that are coming. We're gonna be having a bee. Go ahead, Ani, I'll let you talk.
Sure. We are going to be hosting about 40,000 new patrons at the library this summer. And that'll be in the form of two beehives that we're hoping will move in about a couple of weeks. And we do have some volunteers actually that will be working with the project, but bees are pretty conducive to social distancing. So it'll be okay. Our first volunteer would be Judy Kidder, who is raising the bees right now, and she'll be moving them to their new home. They'll be put in the back of the library building, or so in the grounds in the back, and people will be introduced to the idea of them during our first story walk and our summer reading program launch. There will be something there that will represent where the beehive will go and some bee information, but people can participate in this either by attending a hive check, which would be weekly, or if they don't feel comfortable doing that and getting all dressed up to do that, then they can also participate by going online, and we'll video it. So that's one event that we'll be having all summer that'll be just rolling along. And I'll have lots of other activities that'll go along with the beekeeping. So I'll have different science and art projects for the kids and lots of outdoor activities. So our scavenger hunt is another one. And that'll start out on the library grounds, but we might even move it to around the community. And people can find out about the bees by finding painted rocks or special signs that we have. And hopefully that will lead them back to the library grounds. and back to our summer reading program and other programs that we're offering this summer.
Sounds horrifying.
You're more challenged than Mike. I'm going to invite you. You're going to make friends.
I'll opt for the virtual tour. You know, if I look out my window and there's 40,000 bees out the window, Lori Madsen is going to be on speed dial. All right. So how do we engage people? But no, first, before I ask that, how are you coming up with ideas for what you're trying to do right now? I mean, there's resources everywhere, but in the art world, you know, do you have a model for here's some ideas for maybe how we can engage the community at a new virtual level, and let's try this one out? Is there a statewide association that's maybe given you some ideas, or do you collaboratively work with other people in town? I mean, it's a big new learning curve. How do we get there?
It is a big new learning curve, and I would say there's a lot of ideas that are on the discard pile, too, which for various reasons wouldn't work. But, you know, I imagine everyone is spending a lot of time communicating with their networks, and at the Arts Council, we meet weekly with other arts agencies around the state, because we do have similar programs, and we're all having to pivot. So, you know, how is the Fairbanks Arts Agency handling their summer programs? What's Juno Arts doing? And that's helpful, because we can, as Alaskans, figure this out. And I'm finding this conversation incredibly valuable. I know I'll have a lot of follow-up calls, because I want to be able to direct the families that we're working with to these great programs that are happening in town. Make sure people know what the opportunities are.
Yeah. Library World, is Library World, you got the quarantine lady helping you out with that, but do you all just sit around and brainstorm? Let's do this. This sounds like it'd be fun.
Well, we do, as Ann just mentioned, we do have, Katie, sorry, I always call you by the wrong name. As Katie mentioned, that there are other agencies in the state, like other state libraries. There's only two libraries in the entire state that are open right now. So the rest of us are online quite often talking about programs. And this summer reading program is one that most everybody's using. So we collaborate that way and find out what's going on. We are one of about 10 libraries offering curbside service, so people can call up and reserve their books. So we're continuing with that. And also, Ani and I have sat, actually, when we have a staff meeting, she and I are talking on the speakerphone, so we can make all the, you know, let our saliva fly, as it were. But so we don't meet face to face. But she's full of so many ideas and has some experiences that out in the world that really have added to our programming. She has a wealth of knowledge and experiences that have really made this summer exciting. And I'm looking forward to delving into a lot of these ideas. So and the brainstorming that happens is just, well, let's try that. And like you say, Katie, the discard pile may be taller than we want it to be, but we're working through it and hopefully generating some excitement. Right now we have a bingo game going on called We're All in This Together. We've had one winner so far, Ella Hamilton from the school district. Everybody has two more weeks to join in, but we're just trying to outreach, just trying to get people to stay engaged and stay learning and stay healthy.
So how in a virtual world do we communicate? How do we get kids involved in it? Or are they naturally involved in it? I mean, I got to think that there are some that are going to tend to eat this up and love this kind of environment, and there are some that are going to be reluctant. I mean, how do you build your program to kind of get everybody involved?
Well, there are definitely reluctant readers. And part of the summer reading challenge is to, you know, address their needs as well. And how do we engage reluctant readers? And so that's one way that we do that with the summer reading program, is to offer engaging activities. You know, we don't all learn the same way. So
something tactile or, you know, for instance, moving around when you're reading, like when you're walking, doing art while you're reading. Or, you know, beekeeping. Maybe you've never had any experiences with bees. And if you fall in love with that, once you get a passion, the reading will come naturally, I think. It'll hopefully spark some interest. We just want everyone to be involved to the level that they can be. So, you know, if reading for an hour a day, some kids are just going to attack that, no problem. And other kids might need you to hold their hand, their virtual hand. They might need some coaxing, and they might need to find their passion and then realize that, hey, you can learn more about this through reading. So,
how do we get to pet the bunny though?
Well, one of the things that maybe you can see or not is my sweet little bunny that I showed on my story time one day. Just this morning, I was holding him, and he scratched my face, and I've got these T-Rex marks you guys can see my forehead. You'll see it on the next story time if you watch the Facebook story time. So my sweet little bunny has a T-Rex side to him. But I'll bring him for you, Mike. You can. It might be more dangerous.
Well, I'm just wondering what's coming after the bees, you know? If you guys are going to bring in the manatees or the platypuses or something. You know? It's a friendly little neighborhood up here. Yeah, it is. Well, let's kind of close with all of you talking about, you know, the upcoming thing that people should be most aware of that you guys have to offer here for parents looking for something for their kids to do. I mean, what's coming up? We have the Mule event, which is in a week. Is that right?
Yes, it's going to be launched May 24th.
May 24th. That's like next Saturday.
I think that should be next Sunday, I hope. The right day. Next Sunday, and it'll be kind of in the afternoon, and we'll post it on the Kodiak Baptist Mission Facebook page and I think the website, but it'll take you to another site that has all the connecting dots, so to speak.
So for the offerings that you guys have for the summer camp and for the other events, where do people go to find out about what kind of things that you have to offer?
So that'll be on our Facebook page. A lot of our families that have been enrolled with us or came to the farmer market events, we have a mailing list that we send all that information out to parents that are looking for childcare. They're looking for camp opportunities for their children. We have a running email contact list for those families. But as far as the community is concerned, we're going to try to keep everything posted on our Facebook page and just kind of try to spread by word of mouth, really, which is always not always the best, but that has tended to work for us very well in the past. But we're hoping to do day camp the way we normally have, just in smaller groups.
Well, people are probably just dying for information about what they can do to hook their kid up with something to do during the summer. So, Shelley, I know the events that are happening tomorrow are not refuge events, though, but you're involved in them, right? The birding events on the beaches and...
Oh. Yeah, there are a few things that some of our staff are involved in that aren't being hosted by the refuge, but some of our staff are working with them and volunteering and collaborating with. One of them is Jill Tengeres. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. I apologize if she listens to this. I just call her Jill. She is presenting tomorrow. It's something the Kodiak Audubon Society is organizing. And you can find it on their Facebook page. And you don't have to be a Facebook member to access that page. And she's presenting about the It's called From Kodiak to Indonesia, The Migration Evolution Turns. It's a really interesting study. They did research where they tagged Aleutian terns in Kodiak, and then they could see where they traveled and where they overwintered. And it's really kind of fascinating to find out how far they flew and where some of our birds that nest here in Kodiak go in the wintertime. And so I think that'd be a really fun one. It's going to be 9 a.m. this Saturday. And the Audubon Society is organizing that. I don't know if it's going to be available later, but I hope so, because I have a conflicting class that day as well myself. And all of our programs on Facebook right now, if people, same thing, if you don't do Facebook, you can still find those programs even if you're not a Facebooker. You can Google our programs and find them and access them. We're trying to make our online programs low on the parent side and more engaging for the youth, hopefully, and definitely trying to encourage some fun exploration outside too, so it's not just screen time. So when folks go outside and take a walk, they can use some of the stuff from our online programs to help enhance their experiences outside, hopefully.
Well, the beach challenge looks like it'd be a lot of fun too for a family activity.
Yeah, there's the beach challenge. There's a couple bird programs going on that are a lot of fun. If people want to know more about things too, they can give us a call. If you're not looking at us on Facebook and you'd rather not, you can call our main number, 487-2600, and then you can be directed at the staff who are working with the beach programs and the birding contests and our youth programs as well.
Great. So, were you just thinking about the possibility of a kids Zoom room book club, or that is an actuality? Or you're just saying they could come and join in the afternoon discussion today?
Well, they certainly could. But we also, that's something that we haven't talked too much about, but that would be a way for kids to get involved as they enter our summer reading program. But they're certainly welcome to join this afternoon. And a lot of our programs are on Facebook, but we are cross-advertising on our city webpage, because we do realize not everybody's on Facebook. And so if they go to the library's homepage to the youth section, they can find that. We're so much still in the planning stage because we didn't know a month ago where we'd be today. But anyway, we'd like to encourage, you know, people getting actively involved. So we try to advertise on the radio as well as in other venues to get people active.
So Annie, again, when are these bees moving in, and is it a
you are so funny. I'm gonna make you my challenge, Mike. You're gonna like those bees by the end of the summer.
is it gonna be a thing where people could come out on the lawn, for instance, if they're really interested, and watch Judy put the boxes together?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to videoing the process for people who don't feel safe, either because of the bees or because they don't feel safe just going out into public right now. So it will be in video format for people. But absolutely, they can come to the grounds, and we'll have a little barrier so that you give them the space that they need. But they're absolutely fascinating to watch. You can watch what type of pollen they're bringing back to the hive. It'll change with the seasons, the pollinating seasons. So you can see that they have bright yellow or bright orange or light green pollen at different times of year. So you can learn a ton from the bees. And, you know, there's so many different areas that you can explore with bees, from bee products to apitherapy to, the construction of the hive to just so many different things. So my weekly activities for the kids are going to extend to adults as well, where you can learn all of these different things. And maybe there's one that you want to focus on and do, for example, a display for the state fair at the end of the year. And that can be part of our summer reading challenge.
So just for my own curiosity, when bees come and they hang out in the, do they leave that area? Do the bees fly away and then come back home to the box later?
Yes, they do.
Visit their neighbors.
How big is their range?
I believe it's about 2 miles.
Oh, lovely.
They've got, and we might even do, that might be another outdoor activity that we can do, is to do a walk or a bike ride that would cover the range 2 miles from the hive in all directions. So maybe we do a nice little bike ride to show the area that where these bees are going.
Not only do I have to deal with one pandemic, now I get another one too. This is great. All right. So, Katie, with the Arts Council and Some Arts, through your webpage, through your Facebook postings.
Yes, Roger. All those channels. We also have an email list. So we have a goal of launching by the end of next week that communication with families about how they can register.
If somebody still has ideas, you know, if there's somebody out there that has a, you know, I think this would be a really good idea for, we could maybe add this to the Some Arts Council's schedule for the summer. Is it too late?
No, I mean, we are primarily working with our roster of local teaching artists, but if there are folks in town who want to talk arts programming with us, that is most welcome. We're not in our office, so you'll have to find us online and via email. But absolutely, we are open to new ideas. This is all a great experiment.
Yeah, so it'd be a challenging summer, but I think it'd be a kind of an interesting summer. So best of luck to all of you. Thanks for what you're doing and the amount of brain work that you're putting into doing this. I think some positives are going to come out of it. So
it definitely is an exciting and challenging time. And I want to say one thing I forgot to mention. If anybody wants to come and garden tomorrow at the library, we're going to have a garden party from 11 to 2, encouraging social distancing. And we've got some weeding to do, so come on down. We'll be there.
Can they come to my house, too?
No. Maybe KMXT.
Well, we missed the cowboy. All right. Well, you guys have a great weekend and happy planning.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, everybody, for your ideas. It's great.
All right.
Yeah.
You have a good day. Thanks for tuning in today.